Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Handsome, chatting with friends on the handsome pod. Chatting with friends on the handsome pod.
Cheers. Hello there, it's Tig Notaro, and I'm sitting here with my co-hosts.
Fortune Famester.
Hello there, it's Mae Martin as well.
Oh. And you're listening to Handsome.
The Handsome Pod!
Woo! That's us.
You can really hear when people are smiling while they're talking. Eh? Like, I really heard, and you're listening to his. I heard the smile.
Yeah. You were keeping it smooth and sexy, but fun.
Smiling on through with smooth jazz.
I have a lot of energy this morning.
Why?
I don't really know, because mornings, I'm not like a typical like morning person.
Okay. You're atypical.
Yeah. And maybe that's the stand up in me.
Yeah.
I'm a night owl.
When do you go to bed?
Like midnight.
I don't know if that counts as night owl.
Really?
To go to bed at midnight?
Well, especially
that's pretty late.
That's an early night for Mae. Yeah.
Mae, what's your bedtime?
Well, it's changing and evolving now, especially I'm in the writer's room again, but normally I can't get to bed till like 2:30.
Oh, that is a night owl.
I know. And then I wake up like 9:30 kind of. But okay. Why did you shoot out of bed this morning? Like a little, I don't know, popping candy.
Like a pretty little lady.
Yeah.
I was excited to see you guys.
Girl.
Skipping around as you make your coffee.
Yeah. I do make coffee. I used to go buy it. Because I'm a big coffee person. I love espresso. And I used to go buy it. And it's pretty expensive if you buy it like every day.
Yeah.
So I got one of those like barista machines.
Oh, nice.
So maybe that's why I'm in a good mood. I had my coffee.
What do you guys wear to sleep?
Oh, May.
I can't
finally.
Believe I, yeah. I'm picturing Tig in a matching set of PJs with a little and a little hat, but
now we're getting to the nitty gritty. What does everyone wear to bed?
I'll tell you right now.
Tell us.
Just my panties.
For real, just that?
Yeah.
Really? My panties.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
No onesie.
Yeah, you too, bro.
Yeah.
You go night-night in your panties. Yeah, cool. Me too, bro.
You go night-night in your panties.
All right, dude. I'm going to go night-night in my panties.
No, I'm in the like the boy shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
What do you do, Mae? That's what is on everyone's mind.
Full leather. No, I go boy short, like boxers and t-shirt. I think I slept fully naked as a kid until like too late, like until maybe 13. I was just getting up in the morning fully naked, going making my tea,
making your coffee.
Yeah, it was. I loved being naked.
Nary a panty
to be seen.
You strike me as someone who doesn't mind being naked still though.
Yeah, you know what? Before like top surgery and stuff, I felt confident naked, but not confident in clothes. Like but once I'm naked, I know what I'm up to. Yeah, I don't know what that means. What I just said.
Once I'm naked,
I know what I'm
out.
Yeah, like I feel confident.
Once I'm naked, I have no clue what I'm up to. That is, I've lost me.
I love once I'm naked, I know what I'm up to.
That's, I don't know what I meant by that. I think
like sexy time, I assume. No?
Yeah.
I More guess merch. Like
the yeah. Once I'm naked. I think the clothes made me feel more awkward. And yeah. Yeah. No, I don't mind being naked. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a lights off kind of gal.
What is lights? Oh, lights off. I thought you said light soft.
I'm like a light soft kind of guy. Yeah.
When I'm in my ponties, I like the lights very soft.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not. This is not a body that likes to be naked.
Well, I don't like to sleep naked because I want to be ready for anything. Like if zombies come or a murderer.
Zombs.
Great memory. Yeah. Yeah, if zombs come, I want to be able to jump up and fight them.
I was thinking more like earthquakes, but sure, zombs.
Well, so am I in a real situation because I'm just sleeping in my ponties?
Yeah. Well, you definitely need a pair of shoes nearby and maybe a pair of pants.
I always have my little slippers next to the bed.
Do they have little bunny ears on them?
Might as well.
I do like the visual of you just in your panties and slippers. Outside with like everyone else who's like just endured an earthquake
and you're in bunny rabbit just... slippers.
You're like, guys, that was
shaky.
That was a 5.5.
Anyone else's hair get messed up? Yeah, so is it too vulnerable to just be in ponties?
It's all about how you feel. You know, if you feel like you could take on a zombie in your panties, I'm not going to stop you.
Taking on a zombie in my panties. Yeah, I could do it.
How did you wake up feeling this morning, Tig? Like, full of beans or?
A little tired.
Yeah. Okay.
I am not a heavy drinker. Mm. And I had a skinny margarita last night.
Ooh.
And I'm noticing that... it's not turquoise. Tequila really makes me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And
because it's supposed to be one of the like uppers.
Yeah. And then I read, found a May fact online, how tequila is really helpful with sleeping.
Really? Oh,
I did not know that.
And so when I have a margarita, which is my go-to when I'm down to party.
Mm-hmm.
My next morning, I'm a little like, oh boy, not hungover, but it just makes, yeah. I'm not a big booze hound.
I know that because you called tequila turquoise.
You couldn't I drank think of some word. Turquoise last night. And I've never looked better.
That, I guess, is a real tell. But yeah, that's how I woke up, a little groggy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to my sister-in-law's wedding. Oh. And so this morning I got to see a real cute parade.
Oh,
in our
you
bedroom.
Saw the little suits that are going to be worn?
The three-piece tuxes. I mean,
oh my God.
God help me what I saw parading through the bedroom.
Aw, I love that. I love a kid in a three-piece suit.
Oh, it's so cute.
I mean, or like little Nikes.
Uh-huh.
I like a baby in Nikes.
Oh.
Yeah, they can only wear them for like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Like not as cute as baby in Adidas? I like
an Adidas situation,
okay.
too.
Okay, but they, just like a sneaker.
So are they in the wedding, or this is...
Yeah.
Just that they are. What are like what are their duties?
I think they're, you know, I don't know.
I was gonna say polar bears.
What happens at weddings? I don't know.
You're like, I'm still drunk from my skinny turquoise.
Yeah. I had a skinny margarita 18 hours ago.
They
don't
either
talk
have flower
to me.
Petals or a ring. I don't know.
They're officiating.
They're officiating.
God, that would be amazing if they were officiating. They're like, dearly beloved.
That's a funeral.
Oh, my bad.
See, oh, no, that's a wedding.
Wait, we don't know.
No, we do because
dearly
of Prince.
Dearly beloved,
we are gathered here today. Yeah, it's a wedding.
It's okay.
We only know what a wedding is based on Prince.
Yeah. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today.
Do you guys get asked a lot to officiate weddings? I feel like that's something that people would ask you both.
Yes. I have officiated weddings. You have? I have performed at weddings. Yeah. I got my certificate.
Oh, whoa. Tig just saw a ghost. Yeah,
no,
ghost.
I was looking for my certificate on the wall, and then yeah, I realized I didn't hang that up on the wall.
I've been asked to officiate weddings, but I don't know the people.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I just feel like they should know the person.
Yes.
Also, I'm a little busy.
Also, they got to kick down the cash.
Yeah. I would.
The other thing is, what kind of cash you talking?
If the price was right,
cold hard cash.
I'm talking cold hard cash too. I don't think anyone wants me to officiate their wedding because they're scared I'd start like talking about non-monogamy and during the
oh no.
But I you know how like
what do you guys always think of thruples?
You know how you hear about like really famous people like just dropping in on weddings, like they're in the same hotel.
Yeah, like Tom Hanks is walking by.
Imagine being that level of famous that you just know they're gonna be happy to see me at this wedding. Like
that's a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, really?
Oof.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, right?
Although I love Tom. I love Tom.
But what about it? You just don't like the like
presumptuous. You're just making such a I can't imagine doing that.
I know.
I can't imagine, like when people photobomb, you know, somebody's wedding or interrupt something.
Can you imagine the three of us walking in?
It's a statement of like, I'm so famous or important.
Special.
The special that I can just barge in here.
I can make this day about me.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, people are going to go, oh my God. I don't know.
I know, I'm with you. But then as I said it, I was like, if I was getting married and like Bette Midler walked in, I'd be glad she did. I'd be like, come on.
I bet with like a Tom Hanks situation, he might have been just like walking through and they're like, oh my God, Tom, come here, take a picture. It might have been like that.
Listen, I'm going to give Tom a pass, okay? But in general, I just think it's so cheesy and presumptuous. And you're just saying, hey, I'm such a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's like, who would you go in between some random couple when they're getting their engagement pictures and be like, hey, you know, like God. If you weren't known, they would not be amused. They'd be like, get out of, we're paying by the hour here.
I'm learning how to use like a film camera, like mm-hmm. a. Like, you know,
sure.
Like for photographs and
camera.
Camera. Yeah. And I was walking around Central Park by myself and taking pics and being all arty. And then there was a couple taking engagement photos and like a beautiful. And I started taking tons of pictures of them. And then I got too confident. I was getting up too close. Like, because it was just, there was their official photographer like taking, and they had lighting and everything. And then I started really getting in there, worming my way in. And,
oh my God.
And when I got the pictures developed, like one of the pictures that I got developed, the groom is just looking directly into my lens like, fuck off.
Wow. Yeah. But the photographer's beautiful. Like, did you guys hire another competing photographer?
You should walk around with your business card and then you give it to them, and then if they're interested in buying the photo that you took,
they you'd be like, I got some of the best shots. You're not going to want to miss out on these. Here's my card and my Venmo.
Yeah.
And it's all Tom Hanks jumping into people's photos. Yeah. I want to be very clear here. I love Tom Hanks.
Wow. Yeah. It felt like you didn't for a second.
Don't you dare.
You cleared that up.
And I did say I would give him a pass.
True. And you are a big rom-com gal.
I am a huge rom-tom.
Rom-tom. I love a good rom-tom.
That is what it should be called.
It should be. He and Meg Ryan need to bring it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make a rom-tom.
Man, we really missed the boat on that being a popular word.
What, rom-tom?
Yeah.
It sounds like Rumpelstiltskin. Like
we just got to get another big Tom.
To be a romantic lead?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I just got it. I just got it.
Oh, wait, you just understood.
I don't know what I was laughing at.
Come on in.
I just, what did I say? I go, yeah, like Rumpelstiltskin. What?
And we're like, and we're okay.
Yeah, exactly, like Rumpelstiltskin. I was
like 2 minutes later, just got it.
Not like Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, Jesus. And I didn't even have a skinny turquoise last night.
Oh my God, that is too funny.
That is so, so
I love your
funny.
Bravery in admitting you got it 2 minutes later.
2 minutes? It was much longer than that.
I don't know. I'm not keeping watch on the clock.
Yeah, even using the word Rumpelstiltskin is such a reach. Where
we
does
both
it
ignored you? Yeah, like, okay,
it, you fully ignored me.
That word never fits into conversation.
I know.
It never
just like
comes
Rumpelstiltskin. We're like, what? Yeah. Okay.
I guess
now's the time to wedge it into a conversation. Ah, yeah, just like Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay. Then, where that came from is
fortunate. I have blank
I'm
faces.
Crying. I'm like crying right now.
And then,
I was like,
oh,
I'm bummed.
Not like Rumpelstiltskin.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way.
On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it'd be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined that somebody might try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet.
Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think I kind of thought you guys were laughing at how Rom Tom sounds like Rin Tin Tin or like.
Oh, God, like not even close.
You wandered off from the pack there.
I strayed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, kind of like.
You say that name all the time when you're in preschool and then it never comes up again.
Yeah, same with Rapunzel.
You talked about Rapunzel before. You definitely,
yeah, you bring up
like
these
fairy tale.
Yeah,
Hansel, Gretel, all the greats.
My friend's dad almost called her and her brother Hansel and Gretel when they were born.
That would be a cruel joke.
Yeah,
was he at least German?
I don't know.
He's Italian. Hey,
Hansel.
Pasquale. Hey. That was my father's name, Pasquale.
No Pasquale. Way. Yeah. That's Italian?
Pasquale Notaro. Oh, wow.
Pasquale. Uh-huh. A pizza pasta.
That's right.
Pasquale.
Pasquale.
Kind of like Rom Tom.
Oh, yeah. Pasquale, like Rumpelstiltskin.
You've probably been reading fairy tales lately, so. That might be on your brain.
I'm very into like mythology and folklore on my
own.
Like very into the Pied Piper of Hamelin as like an allegory for what happens if you don't look at darkness. I don't know. I'm into the Pied Piper.
Rumpelstiltskin stuff.
The Pied Piper of Hamelin?
Yeah.
That's right.
You know the Pied Piper?
Dick.
Wait, you guys know the Pied Piper.
She has no idea what you're talking about either, just for the record.
Wait, are you serious?
I don't know this.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard the word Pied Piper.
Yeah.
So the but what is Hamelin?
Why are we
trying to pretend like we don't have a side podcast about Hamlin than the Pied Piper.
About mythology.
Where we do a deep dive on it. Okay.
The Pied Piper is from Hamelin.
You know what's crazy is I just literally listened to a podcast that was a deep dive on the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Seriously.
Oh my God.
And then funny. on their download count, it just says one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wonderful. Can't wait to dig my teeth into this.
This podcast goes out to Mae Martin.
I've only heard the phrase, like, you're going to have to pay the answer to the Pied Piper, pay the Pied Piper, whatever that phrase is.
Yeah. So basically, they had this rat problem in this small town.
Oh, and, boy.
Like, May and, fact.
Well, this is a, I don't even know if this is based in truth. Can't be.
No, who
can't
cares?
Who cares?
May fantasy.
Yeah, there should be a May fantasy. And then so this guy, this sort of magical outsider shows up all uh-huh. dressed in colorful robes and stuff. And yeah. he says, I'll if you pay me this amount of money, I'll play my little pipe and I'll lead Ooh. All the rats out of town. Uh-huh. So he does. And he leads them all away.
Ooh.
And then the greedy townspeople don't pay him. And he had warned them.
No.
And so then he plays his little pipe and all the children of the town follow him. And he leads them into a mountain and they're never uh-huh. seen again.
Oh, and, what?
Wow, that went dark.
Oh. Yeah.
All those fairy tales are so dark.
Yeah, true.
And,
yeah.
But I'm sorry to back up. You're into this story?
You have follow-up questions?
I dig it.
But like, okay, you can dig
also,
a
that's
story.
That's why you have to pay the Pied Piper.
Yeah, so they you got to pay the Pied Piper.
So he doesn't kidnap your children.
Fortune yeah. wants to get full circle to like, why are we talking about the Pied Piper?
Fortune's like, and, well, what's his Venmo? I
don't. Yeah. And Hamelin is where this took place?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think
well,
so.
Now we know the origin of that.
Thank God.
I think like myths and fairy tales, the reason they endure and they resonate with us is that they speak yeah. they speak to some like inner truth that we know, and they're helpful.
And they're meant to scare you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
Like what?
The big bad wolf.
Or oh, yeah, Itsy totally. Bitsy Spider.
Or Rum yeah. Tum Tum.
Or Rimple what Van and Winkle.
And what did Rumpelstiltskin do? I forgot.
He agreed to help this girl spin her hair into gold.
Mm.
And then he said something about guessing his name. If you guess my name, I'll... And then she guessed it or something. And then he stomped himself into the ground. He was so mad. Oh, he said, give me your firstborn child unless you can guess my name.
Whoa.
Good night.
That's high stakes.
Tig's going night-night in her panties.
Yeah, night-night in my panties after that story. And he's so angry, he stomped her into the ground. Do you have your panties on? Time to go night-night.
Oh my gosh. That's the best part about this podcast. We just really never know where we're going at some point.
Should we go into our guest question?
Yes, let's do it.
Sure.
Sure. That's why we're here. All right. Our question for this episode is from my dear old pal. I don't know how tight you guys are with Mr. Mike Birbiglia.
I don't know him well, but I really like him.
Yeah.
His one-man shows are really impressive.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I just met him for the first time in Montreal.
Yeah.
But you know someone's like a comedian's comedian when people just call them Birbiglia, like by the last name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you know you've made it as a comedian, people start calling you Birbiglia. That's right, May.
Hey, well, Birbigs.
Yeah, I have known Mike forever, and I just really admire his writing and performing, everything. He's so talented and a very nice guy. He's a stand-up actor, writer, director. You've seen him in the movies Sleepwalk With Me and A Man Called Otto with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike just released his latest stand-up special called The Old Man and the Pool, and you can watch that on Netflix.
I can't wait.
Let's hear Birbig's question.
Woohoo.
Hey, it's Mike Birbiglia. Okay, here's my question. What is the most surprising thing about being an adult that would have surprised your childhood self? Like, what would your childhood self be most shocked about your adult self?
So much.
Surprising thing about being an adult.
I feel like for me, out of the gate, I would never have believed that I could pull my life together and be, I feel like, a good, reliable partner and parent and just kind of keep the train moving, you know? Because I was just so, I don't know.
Chaotic.
Yeah, it just I was moving all the time, this job, that job, you know. I can't believe that I took this turn and that I'm able to maintain a relationship, a family, a career, and all of that stuff.
You were more just kind of like flailing through the wind.
Yeah,
like
get my mail, put it in a stack, and then my electricity goes off. And I'm like, what? What happened? Yeah. And then, and then I'm like, oh, right. I got my mail and I didn't open my bills. You know?
Yeah.
I was that kind of person.
And that started young for you, right? You were like, dropping out of school. Like, so did you, did you imagine you were going to be a kind of like lone wolf hitchhiker? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think when I was, you know, a lone wolf failure dropout, not really a lone wolf. I mean, I was, I had a lot of great friends and, but I was certainly not following a typical path and I was just, I was failing and dropped out and I didn't think I was going to have much for myself.
Yeah.
And I think it was also because what was drilled into my head that if I didn't do these things, then I wouldn't have much for myself. But I also didn't want too much for myself. And
you didn't have like lofty goals.
No. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You felt like allergic to the kind of prescribed.
Like, yeah.
I was similar, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not for me. And I just thought, well, it's fine. I'll just have a little hatchback, live in a studio apartment. Have I'll deliver pizza and then just have my friends and a girlfriend or maybe have a baby one day. But I didn't think I was gonna be able to handle much more or have much more. And that includes the much more, meaning even ability to navigate my life.
That's great, then. That's very...
When do you think the turning point was? Did you feel a shift at some point into this new path? Or was it gradual?
I think it was... There's just been different shifts that have happened, you know? I certainly could keep some things together in life. And I mean, I guess I had fantasies and dreams about something else. But I didn't believe that that would happen for me. You know, I wanted to do work in music business. I mean, my deep, dark secret was wanting to do stand up. But my fantasy that I could share was that I wanted to work in music business. And so I had that kind of dream and I had some things under control in life. But I would say I remember I wrecked a friend's car. And that really kind of made me wake up a little more. Like, what am I need to pull this together, you know? And then that sent me into more of a traditional job while I was doing open mics, you know? But it felt good to have that desk job that I was, had a reliable income and that kind of stuff because I just felt really bad about myself when I wrecked that car.
Yeah. Fortune, do you remember when you were a kid, what, how you pictured your life?
I remember growing up feeling like there's got to be more. There was always something missing, but I think my childhood was sort of over, like the thing that was kind of the shadow over it was just not knowing who I was. So I could never like live my life to the fullest in a certain way. Like I wasn't dating and I wasn't comfortable with myself because I didn't know myself. And a lot of that had to do with coming out later. I came out at 25 and I feel like, gosh, who even was I before then? I was just kind of always like, something's missing. And I never would have guessed that at some point in my life, I would have such a clear idea of who I am and have peace in that way. Because everything felt very chaotic, very discombobulated. And yeah, so I have a lot more peace that I got once I became an adult and got to sort of be the captain of my own ship and make my own money and make my own decisions. I don't think I liked it in the hands of other people.
I like that both of you are like thinking about, and me too, probably, like about adulthood as happening like much later than like because the numbers are so arbitrary, right? Like, oh, 18, you're an adult, but now they're saying your brain isn't fully formed till you're 27. Like that actual transition into like, I don't know, self-assuredness. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot later, I think, for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah, your 20s are insane.
I feel like I was a different person almost. I was still like, the essence of me was there. Like, I was silly and mm-hmm. yeah. I want to say I was kind and like, I was still like kind of a good time gal, but in a very innocent kind of naive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I definitely feel like that version of myself, I almost look at my childhood and that self as like a different person.
Yeah.
And I can kind of like look back on her and give her grace and give her a little bit of a break, because I was very hard on myself for a long time of not figuring it out and not knowing who I was and why is this all feeling so all over the place. And but you know, when you're a kid, a lot of things aren't in your control. You are at the mercy of adults, you know, figuring it out for a lot of things for you. So I think I liked it once I could take the reins.
It's interesting how getting to know yourself in life, there's so many chapters of that. Because once I really settled into who I was and was like, oh, okay, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like so on and into another chapter of learning who I am in a long-term relationship, learning who I am as a parent, learning who I am as a boss, learning who I am in all of these different ways. Yeah. And it all morphs as it continues too.
Mm-hmm.
Authenticity is like when you're being closer to who you really are, then it feels like you get into, like on a vinyl record, you kind of fall into the groove and, mm-hmm. and things start happening more smoothly. And you know what I mean? And when you're out of alignment with like what who you actually are, then yeah, you're scratching all over around the town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about for you, Mae?
I think as a little kid, I was a lot more in line with who I was, because I was lucky. I don't know. I was lucky that I always said I wanted to be a comedian, even when I was like little, and I was wearing 3-piece suits and I was like silly and I was and then I think puberty fucked me over. And then I was, it just has taken me a long time to get back to who I was as a kid, like closer to who I was then, you know,
and closer to fine.
And
what do you mean by puberty fucked you over?
Well, I think that's like, I grew my hair long. I'd never had long hair. I suddenly felt that pressure to conform. So I grew my hair long for like 3 years or something around 13. Yeah, got into drugs and got, probably also because my body started changing at puberty and I was a little tranny probably. And I was like really upset by it and didn't know. I just felt like so terrible about it. And then if you're really off the rails and you know, then you're meeting shrinks and you get kind of into like the system of, you know, and then in rehab and stuff, and people are telling you, like, as soon as you sort of diagnose teenagers and throw around those things, it really limits how you see your own potential and the possibilities for your life. So when people are, you know, any labels do that, right? But if you're like, well, you're an addict and you're, you know, a compulsive liar or whatever, and it's like, yeah, I'm of course lying because I'm a teenager and I want to do drugs, but like those labels really fucked with me. Like I was like, oh, I'm bad. And so I never thought about my life really beyond 30. I thought like I would just be being nuts and then probably something bad would happen. So it's been a nice like
shift.
I'm surprised that this feels like so that just the start of my life. It's exciting. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Especially, this is such a lame thing, but doing improv again, like, it really taps into some silliness in me that is, yeah. And I, you know, in the past sort of 5 or 6 years, I've felt that with stand up too. And, but I think for years I was not really myself on stage, and it takes a while to figure that out. And oh man, and improv is just like tapping into some primal early part of myself doing dumb voices and
Like letting yourself be silly.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's the best. Yeah. Well, we all got pretty deep.
I liked that. The laughs, I mean, all went away. And we were like, well, I didn't find myself for another 10 years.
I know.
I was living on the streets.
Literally. I wonder, do you think Mike probably intended us to be like, well, I, you know, bath time used to be fun as a kid, and now it's...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, I certainly never thought I'd be a stand-up comedian. I mean, that to me seemed like not a real job.
Yeah.
You know, that was like one of those, Hollywood is some fanciful place. It might as well have been Narnia for me.
Now you're starting to sound like May.
May's rubbing off on me.
I'm like, oh, are you talking about Aslan?
Did somebody say Narnia?
Did somebody say...
Anything that you can say in this voice? Did somebody say it?
Yeah.
I do remember in college, I was my college graduation speaker, and I was kind of trying to be funny up top. I wasn't like a class clown, but I had moments of funny. And I gave this speech, and it made people laugh in the beginning. And I remember that feeling of like, oh, that's really cool. And then it also had like a motivational bend to it. And I was like, even then I was like, oh, I want to be like a motivational speaker. It never occurred to me, like, because I'd heard like Chris Farley. It's funny because it goes back to comedy.
Yeah.
Hearing Chris Farley's character be like, I'm a motivational speaker. You're going to live in a van down by the river.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to be a motivational speaker because I like using words to make people feel good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I remember having that thought of like, well, that's impossible. That like doesn't, how do you get a bunch of people to listen to you?
How do you motivate people with the most tired voice?
And with a microphone and just you.
Hey, and then, you gotta get up.
Come on, let's get going. I was like a slow Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Fortune and I'm here to motivate you.
You're gonna live in a van down by the river. And here we are talking to people, and they're listening.
I feel like, how come kids always, they always want to be vets or like?
No, I wanted to.
Did you? You wanted to be a vet?
I did.
Yeah.
And an architect, and I wanted to be the fifth Beatle.
Oh my God, that's good. I think we would have been pals, Tig. I was deeply into the Beatles and it, like, as if I was the first person that discovered them. Like,
that was me. Like, when I was in elementary school, we had this friend that lived in England, and it's so hilarious because, of course, we could buy Beatles records in the States, but he would come from England to visit us, and he would bring me and my brother Beatles records, Rolling Stones records, The Who, and I got into the British Invasion. well after it happened. Yeah. And I mean, I was so into all of that when I was in elementary school. My brother went a little more Stones and I went a little more Beatles. Oh, yeah. But yeah, yeah, I was, if I was able to do a report on somebody, it was always John Lennon.
I would have been like, who are the Beatles? Can we get some Jimmy Buffett going?
You weren't into the Beatles as a kid?
No.
Jimmy Buffett, huh?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Vanilla Ice. I don't know what to tell you. Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy.
Or Vanilla Ice, baby.
And Alf, of course.
Cherry Berry, Alf,
my tastes
Prince.
Were not refined yet.
Listen, Jimmy Buffett was a really great songwriter, and he's obviously very known for Margaritaville.
Yeah, I'm out there yelling, salt, salt, salt.
I've never heard this.
Margaritaville?
You don't know this?
No.
Oh my God, this is so hilarious.
Some people say that there's a woman to blame.
Never in my life.
You don't know that song?
Never.
How about cheeseburger in paradise? Paradise.
No, that's not a real song.
Yes. Yes. And he played it for like 30 years.
He
and
just
everyone...
died.
Really? Yeah.
Mm. But do you know who Jimmy Buffett is?
No.
No, you've never heard the name Jimmy Buffett.
Are you having
a tig moment?
I kind of recognize the name, but is he called Buffett because his songs are all
no,
about like food
last...
and drinks?
Well, they're not all that. What is another? Fins to the left, fins to the right. he was the guy that started the island like music. Like,
the other thing you're not going to be aware of.
Yeah, I don't know what that.
Like, well, you know, he's like wearing the floral, what do you call them, Hawaiian shirts?
Yeah.
It was a big thing. Like, people would tailgate all day for his concerts. He sang the same songs for like 30 years, but if he played new stuff, everyone's like, boo, sing Cheeseburger in Paradise.
My old assistant who lives in our guest house at our office, he is such a parrot head. Which
That's
is what
his fans are called.
His fans are called.
What?
Patrick is such a parrot head that he started his own Jimmy Buffett podcast that got picked up by Margaritaville, Jimmy's brand. And now he's got, I think, an XM radio show.
Heck yeah.
For Jimmy Buffett.
Have you heard of the hotel or restaurant Margaritaville?
No.
And oh my God, you're not even eating any coconut shrimp.
I'm allergic to coconut. But
yeah, we've gone over this.
I forgot.
It just seems crazy to me.
This is blowing my mind, May.
It seems crazy to me that
I didn't think I'd meet anyone who doesn't know who Jimmy Buffett is.
I just don't like that it's Cheeseburger in Paradise because you'd think you'd call it Hamburger in Heaven. I think that's catchier.
Cheeseburger in Paradise. Paradise.
I have never.
For the first time, Fortune.
I know, but what are some other verses in that song? I can't think of it. How else does it go, Tig?
Yeah, we could get Patrick on the horn.
Do you remember how the rest of the song goes?
I don't remember.
Tried to amend my carnivorous habit, made it nearly 70 days. Out something, picking up something. Well, at night I have this.
Is it actually about a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
What?
I like mine with lettuce and tomato, Heinz 57 and french fried potatoes.
Okay, I gotta get you. Gotta send me some. You gotta send me some clips. I gotta get into this.
And it shows people like when he sang Margaritaville, people would yell salt,
salt, salt,
salt, salt, salt, salt, salt. Yeah. Salt.
I just can't believe that people were at these concerts going nuts.
Yeah,
and it's the
nuts.
Most mellow music.
That's
because
they're drinking what Tig likes. Margaritas.
Yeah.
Skinny Margaritaville. Did I just create something?
This is a weight loss camp. It's called Skinny Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You had a margarita when we went out, you, me, and Stephanie, and I took you to the only mm-hmm. vegan restaurant I've ever heard of.
And I don't think it was vegan, right?
No, for the most part not. But there was quite a bit of vegan stuff, but
I'll take you to Craig's. Then you can eat vegan food and I can eat not vegan food.
I've been to Craig's.
What's Craig's?
Craig's is in West Hollywood. It's like an Italian joint, okay. But that also has a pretty decent sized vegan menu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to an Airbnb this weekend that I rented as like a surprise birthday party for this woman who I'm heavily involved with.
It's a woman. I was like, who is it for? You
a woman.
So she doesn't know?
She knows that we're going to an Airbnb and that a couple of people are coming, but she doesn't know the extent. Okay. And I'm really nervous. I've never successfully pulled off. Like, I don't think I've ever planned a surprise party. And it says on the Airbnb thing, no parties. Do not have parties.
Well, so wait, you're doing it anyway?
It's too late now. I've invited everyone.
Oh my gosh.
But it's a daytime.
Are you going to do? Is it down in the like Palm Springs area? Because they are very ornery about that stuff.
It's Malibu. And I'm hoping because it's run by one of those like companies that runs
that they won't be checking.
We have an Airbnb in Malibu where we have a message that says that you can't have parties.
Are you serious? Have an Airbnb?
No.
Oh my God. I was like, that was like insane.
I would like to stay there.
I have a really great fix for this issue.
Okay. Oh, what?
Have everybody dress in the exact same costume.
Mm.
So like a long trench coat, a mustache, black rim glasses, a hat, and then it just looks like the same person.
That's actually brilliant.
You know?
Moving from room to room.
And then you're like, we think the same person keeps coming in and
keeps arriving to the Airbnb. Like, that it looks like the tape is glitched.
That's yeah. Have everyone go buy the same outfit.
Yeah.
You need to have everyone buy a sweatshirt because trench coats, that's a lot. Let's go with a sweatshirt. And a mullet. Have everyone buy a mullet.
A trench coat's going to hide the different body types and heights and stuff.
If it's a trench coat, you want two
but
kids.
But if they have
dark jeans,
dark sweatshirt, mullet.
Ooh, I have a better idea.
Oh, what do you got?
Oh, and it's not too big of a stretch more with, investing in this. You got to buy a few at like... four of those big horse costumes where two people or three people are in there and somebody's on the shoulders and you could put a mullet on the horses and then they all just clomp into the party.
And that's fun as part of the surprise.
Yeah. And then you say, where does it say no horses at the party?
Mm-hmm. Show me the clause. Where it says no horses.
No horses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, here's how you can do it. You can have one horse comes to the party that you got three people crammed in that
suit.
That
sounds
right?
like a start of a joke. One horse comes, comes to the party.
Oh, this is no joke. I'm trying to help you have a successful party down at Malibu Beach. Okay, so you got three people crammed in the horse clump suit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you get one of those things where... three people sit on each other's shoulders and then they're like 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
So you got three people crammed into there.
That's
so that's six
already.
People. And then the others just come in as people.
Two horses and two giants. That's 12 people.
Two horses and two giants walk into an Airbnb.
And then it's me, my girlfriend, and her daughter. And then two horses and two giants. That's the 15. That's good.
And you can put mullet wigs on all three of them. The horse and the two giants.
Problem solved.
Nothing to see here. And then everyone just clomps into the party.
How many are on the giant? Three people?
Yeah.
So you need someone that can really... you need a very firm base.
Yeah. Fortune's right about
this. It's
like
a Russian nesting doll. They need to get smaller as they go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing The Rock is coming and he can be the base on
good
one of them.
Good thing we're thinking all this stuff through right now.
We were worried about your situation and now not worried.
Yeah. So have a good time.
Great.
I'm kind of bummed I'm not going to the party as a horse.
You could be a surprise.
Buy a trench coat, Tig.
Put a trench coat on my horse suit.
Well, that'll be fun. I've never thrown a surprise. I don't think I've thrown a surprise party, so.
Well, I mean, she knows there's something going on. And I keep being like, do you want to know in advance? And she's like, no.
That doesn't sound like you're trying to keep the surprise.
I know. It's because I would hate it. I would want to know.
Okay. I don't mind being surprised. So if you guys ever want to throw me a party with a bunch of horses.
Let's do it.
Tidge, get your cowboy hat out.
Has anyone thrown you a surprise party?
Back in college, I got thrown a surprise party. That was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Jax has surprised me with like some friends coming over.
Yeah.
Like during the thick of the quarantine, I had a big milestone birthday and she had two of my best friends surprise me with, they made me a pie and sat 10 feet away in the backyard.
Oh, that's
nice. But honestly, I was like, it's not how I expected to celebrate that birthday, but just having any joy, I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah. When is your birthday?
July 1st.
Oh, great.
Canada
birthday.
Day.
Yeah. Have we been over this, Tig? When's yours?
March 24th.
Yeah.
Day before Elton John's birthday day.
Huge. Mm. I actually do have the same birthday as The Rock, May 2nd.
Oh. May. It was born in May.
Yeah.
Wow.
David Beckham, The Rock, all the greats.
May Martin.
And May Martin.
You know who I share a birthday with is, what's his name? He's a football player. Oh, well. And then I also...
Tom Brady?
No. And
it's the only one I know.
I don't know why I brought this up. My apologies. And then the other one is the football player on the Bills that got hurt.
Oh.
I don't know if you...
Yeah.
There's a big moment when he got... DeMar Hamlin, I'm sorry.
Hamlin? Pied Piper of Hamlin.
Oh, my God. What a full circle moment, you guys. We're so handsome.
That is crazy.
Wow. Who knew that we'd be able to do that?
Whoa.
I mean, what a podcast. What a podcast.
That was electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie, woogie.
Anyway.
We have to capture that moment of Fortune saying, what a podcast. What a podcast.
What a podcast.
And make that, what is that, a meme or whatever this?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Other people have my birthday, I'm sure.
Jimmy Buffett, probably.
Oh, brought Jimmy Buffett back.
What a podcast. Put your fist in the air.
Should we listen to what Mike Birbiglia's answer is?
Right, Mike. Oh, yeah. Right. Let's hear what Mike has to say.
I think the reason that this was my question was that for me, it's kind of everything. Like, I'm surprised that I am married. I'm surprised that I have a child. I'm surprised that I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm surprised that I left Massachusetts and lived in New York. I actually think about this all the time because I could not have predicted any of it. Anyway, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mike.
That's very in keeping with everything we said, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like, I can't believe that I am a functioning
person.
That I'm a person. Yeah,
I think it's a testament to you can accomplish anything beyond your wildest dreams. So don't ever think that you have to limit yourself or think that you can't do something that seems hard or impossible, because you just never know. So why not try?
Yeah.
I was trying to be motivational because I didn't get to be a motivational speaker. So
well, you can
this
always,
is my moment.
You can always wrap up each episode moving forward with a nice little motivational wrap up with Fortune.
Your own little fortune cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And we should end with a group. What a podcast.
What a podcast. What a podcast.
Podcast.
Oh, man. This episode had everything. It had laughs. It had music.
Awkward silences.
Silence and motivational moments of deep thoughts and feelings.
Rumpelstiltskin. We should remind people that we're doing a live show December 18th.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so pumped at Dynasty Typewriter, but also that you can watch it from anywhere in the world. You can live stream it.
Yeah.
Let's get a million people to watch.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We would be in the Book of World Records.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think we could pull that off between
now no
and
one's
December
watched. 18th. No, there's never been a million people that's watched anything before.
I feel like people don't really go out for world records like they used to in the 70s and 80s.
You're so right. That used to be huge.
If I could predict, I think at some point in our lifetime, May will attempt to break a world record of some sorts.
Oh, I know what it's going to be.
What?
You're going to ride a motorcycle over a bunch of barrels.
I could see that.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's in your future, Mank. That's in your good future. Luck. Be careful out there.
Please.
I thought you were going to say something nerdy. Like
a lot of barrels. Correcting
the most grammar in 1 hour, but like...
Well, it'd still be kind of nerdy
if that's what you really set your mind to. And
well, because I'll be wearing one of those hats with the propellers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll help you take flight.
Yeah, to lift me up.
Tig, take it away. What do we got coming up?
Well, our live Handsome show is coming up on December 18th, Fortune. And you can join in the fun from anywhere in the world. Woo! Tickets are sold out in person. But you can join us streaming live on the internet by going to dynastytypewriter.com. That's dynastytypewriter.com to see our live streaming show December 18th.
And we also have some other cool stuff, Tig. What do we have?
Merchandise.
Yeah, for our Handsome
listeners.
Yeah,
we got merchandise. Yeah, we got tote bags. We got hats.
We got stickers.
Yeah, yeah. All your favorite words on those things, too.
And those can be found at handsomepod.com.
I do think we should make some merch that says, what was it? When I'm naked, I know what I'm up to or something.
Keep the list going, Thomas.
Keep the list going.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Well, I hope if you guys enjoyed this episode, you'll go give us a 5-star or a review. It certainly is appreciated by all of us.
Yes.
You can also share the episode with friends. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I need to turn my friend on to this show. Here's a perfect example of a show. Send it over to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're like, the Jimmy Buffett fan in my life needs to hear this.
I can't wait to bring in some parrot heads on this episode.
Yes. But thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Is there any handsome stuff you would like our listeners to know about May?
Yes, Fortune. November 29th, I'm at Dynasty Typewriter with Stephanie Allen and Alana doing a live streamed improv show. And then Largo December 2nd and 11th.
Nice.
What about you, Fortune?
I'm going to be on the road doing stand-up November 30th in Kansas City. After Christmas, I have St. Petersburg, Orlando, Jacksonville, and West Palm Beach, Florida. Just added shows in Vancouver, Toronto, Los Angeles, New Jersey, London. I'm going to Europe for London and Amsterdam. So get your tickets at my website, fortunefeemster.com.
Tig, what about you?
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm going to be in College Park, Maryland, January 26th, and then Waterville, Maine, March 9th. So go to tignotaro.com, get all show information there.
Well, thanks for listening. And as always,
keep it handsome.
Should we do a What a Podcast?
Yeah.
What a podcast.
Handsome is hosted by me, Tig Notaro, May Martin, and Fortune Themester. The show is produced, recorded, and edited by Thomas Ouellette. Email us at handsomepod@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at handsomepod.
What a podcast. What a podcast.
That was electric.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.